here? Tommy? Okay. What happened to Ellie? Oh, Svi Kantor. Hey, good to see you. Okay. Good. Oh, this just popped out. Since Binyamin did the good combination of Simcha and Binyamin, we have to make sure that we use it properly. Okay, is there any way to do this like a little better? Put that on this side. Ah. Okay. Simple solutions are sometimes the right solutions. We might have to change the whole way we learn. Okay. The I just assumed that wasn't even like a possibility. Okay. So let's continue where we were, from where we were. Just a couple of quick ROs first. Again, it's pretty clear that this is a very massive topic, and again, a window into many, many different issues, into the relationship between the different types of brachos, for sure, and what that reflects about different modes of Avodas Hashem. That's, again, the kiyume mili de brachos, certainly. But in addition, as I said, it's really also a tremendous window into like individual mitzvos and how to think about them, you know, in a bigger way. So just a couple of points before we continue. The last thing that we were discussing is we were analyzing a little bit more the issue of you know, the three possibilities of how to look at Birchas HaMitzvah. And especially what we were examining was the question of the relationship to Birchas Shevach V'Hodah on the one hand, and to the Matir of Birchas HaNenin on the other. I think, Eitan, I think, has already made the point to me, very briefly, though, because we didn't have a chance to discuss it, after last year, and that is at the Ramban and the Ran, right? I thought you were trying to make note of this question, you know, namely where to locate... again, but not in such a formal way, where to locate Birchas HaMitzvah in the context, in the bigger context of Hilchos Brachos. And Ran pretty much on that point, except I think he has one extra line, pretty much echoes the words of the Ramban. And I think the question really becomes a little bit how to, like it always is, like how to take or how to interpret a certain line. But it is important just to kind of, you know, affirm that we're on the right path and that we're at least raising the right questions. That, you know, these are questions that are endemic to, you know, to what it is that we're discussing. Namely, if the question, if Birchas HaMitzvah requires Ovelas Yasan, you know, then how does that stand vis-a-vis, like, you know, the parallels? So this is a question that the Ramban and the Ran and others... discuss, and the question is, what do they really mean by it? Did you have the line there in the Ramban? The heavy Yodei in the end, right? The heavy Yodei shelo kolal Shmuel kan ela kolam mitzvos kulan, right? I'm sorry, heavy Yodei shelo kolal Shmuel kan ela kolam mitzvos kulan, sorry, okay. Meaning the line that kolam mitzvos mevarchem aleim over las yasan does apply comprehensively to all mitzvahs, so we'll get to that in just a minute. Of course, that's not completely true either. Why is that not completely true? Why is it not completely, you see? Because there are mitzvahs that don't require a bracha, you know, and of course, yeah, no, you're saying correctly, you're saying, well, because there are exceptions, like tefillah, and how extensive is the exception of tefillah, and that's something we already discussed. How fundamental the over lasiyasan is to Birchas HaMitzvah, you know, will, and the question of, you know, during, and also the question of after, l'chatchil and b'diavad, Ram and the Arzarua, all these things are going to figure into how, you know, expansive is the exception, and how significant is the exception of Tevilah. And again, of course, that was reinforced even more by the Gemara in Brachos that we discussed last time, and by the Rishonim, you know, who take different views and expand upon, you know, that, you know, particular. See, now I know why this wasn't here, because when I move this way, you know, it's, but the, you know, so of course that's part of it, the exception. But of course there are also mitzvos, you know, that don't have, you know, brachos. So when the Hevi Yodea Shelo Kolal Shmuel Kanela Kol HaMitzvos Kulon, just an interesting statement. That isn't the part I wanted to zero in on. But of course, it isn't completely true. And that's where Rabbi Yosef Ibn Palat and the Ravi Avad and, you know, the history of trying to figure that, you know, the Rambam and other Rishonim trying to figure out why there are certain mitzvos that don't seem to have a bracha at all, you know, where that comes into play. We'll get back to that in just a couple of minutes. But of course, it isn't, you know, completely the case, and that's something to think about. But then he goes on to say, you have there, Eitan, aval shar brachos. So of course, that's just great that, you know, again, it's not, we're not surprised, there's no chiddush in the Ramban, but again, it is reinforcing because, of course, you know, you want to locate, you know, this din, you know, in the bigger world, you know, of Hilchos Brachos, and that's exactly what the Ramban is saying. And also, even the language, of course, and then you have to trace it and see how other Rishonim quote it, but here, you know, Vaday Kodem Shiyena Mehen, you know, also Lihonos. So again, is this a way of saying this is a completely different theme? You know, and of course it has to be over because it's a matir. Masha Enkein Birchas HaMitzvah, you know, the din of over there is more of a chiddush, you know, less of a vadai, because, you know, it's not midin this at all. Or is it a way of saying that, you know, the matir of Birchas HaNenin is more self-evident, you know, and, you know, more obvious, you know, that it requires, you know, the kedima part. Any, let's say, the debate between, let's say, the Rivam and the Ravya and, you know, the line in the Yerushalmi, you know, is it conceivable that it's also fine or maybe even equal or better, right, to make a bracha in the middle of the mitzvah, you know, rather than, you know, in advance of the mitzvah? Like, no one would ever consider such a thing in Birchas HaNenin, right? No one would say, you know, if you're thinking, you know, strictly in terms of Mi'ilah and Gezelah, no one would say, well, you know, it's just as good, you know, maybe even better to do it as you're, you know, chewing or biting, or, you know, no one would say that. So the, you know, again, there are two ways to handle all that. One is, Birchas HaMitzvah is a totally different idea. You know, even it's over, you know, even if both are over, they're for different reasons. And, you know, therefore that is reflected by L'chatchila B'dieved, you know, both of, you know, Achar, as well as, you know, the relationship of Emtza, you know, to Tchila. Because, again, we're dealing with a different category completely. Or, and especially if you, you know, take, you know, the view that Be'emtza is not acceptable, certainly not L'chatchila, maybe B'dieved, because there's at least Tziruf, if nothing else, and there's also an Emtza B'dieved, you know, in Birchas HaNenin. You know, maybe not a sof, but there is an emtza, for sure. That's the Reicho Nodef that presumably nobody disagrees with when you're continuing. But the other way to look at it is that, you know, what we're really saying here is that Birchas HaMitzvah, we're wondering, or that we're establishing a klal, that Birchas HaMitzvah is like Birchas HaNenin. Just that we're also acknowledging, you know, that in Birchas HaNenin, and this is more obvious, since it's, you know, a more obvious, you know, type of matir. Not necessarily a more important matir, but let's say a more obvious matir, right? Because this whole idea of requiring a matir and all the things that we discussed about it is a pretty subtle, you know, idea. And everybody can understand, you know, that you have to ask permission, you know, before you eat somebody else's food or take someone else's object. In this case, you know, Lashem Haaretz, you know, Umbloa. So I think there are two ways, again, to understand that reference, but the very fact that the Ramban and the Ran, we'll look at the language of the Ran in just a second, well, as well, make reference to it is very important. And the Vaday. Then comes the next line, if you don't mind, Eitan, since V'im Birchas HaShavachim. Okay, so here, if you just stopped here, so again, we have the other category. and you know we're you know relating to it. And of course, the Rambam, when you know he organizes you know Hilchos Brachos by saying Kashem, of course, and you know discussing in a few places, including Perek and Aleph, you know going transitioning from Shevach to Birchas HaMitzvah, which he does. Is, you know, and this is earlier than the Ramban, obviously, is doing exactly the same thing. You know, and of course, for the Rambam doing it in the context of writing his, you know, code and organizing, you know, Hilchos Brachos, you know, it's an even more obvious, you know, prerequisite to do that. You could say, oh, you're writing a parish on the Gemara, you know, so you deal with what's in front of you. But the whole point of the Rambam is that he's putting everything, you know, in a framework. And of course, the framework of there being different types of brachos, you know, the categories of which he, you know, identifies, you know, and then how, you know, from a technical standpoint and from a conceptual standpoint, they relate to each other, you know, that's the Rambam's, you know, goal, you know, in Yad HaChazaka and in Hilchos Brachos, you know, more particularly. Okay, so the question is, though, since, you know, this contrast, so it's like Birchas HaNenin is a Vadai Lefanav, and that's how I was just even kind of accentuating that with the contrast to the Betoch, you know, issue, and the Le'achar B'dievet issue. Birchas Ha, you know, Roeh, Birchas Shevach V'Hodah, is certainly a Le'achar, you know, issue. But here the question is, like, why? Is that fundamentally true? And if you stop reading the Ramban right here, and if you just have the evidence of the Gemara, I think you certainly would come to the conclusion that this is a fundamental distinction. And again, it's you know what we talked about, namely responding to, reacting to, you know, Gevuras Hashem, you know, Chasdei Hashem. You know, as the case may be, in terms of Birchas Shevach, one is Shevach, the other is more, I guess, appropriate for Hodah, so you have to experience it, you know, first. This, you know, I always like to quote the, they say in the name of Reb Chaim, the Emek Bracha quotes this as well, you know, that even if one could anticipate, you know, through, like, you know, Nevuah, that there would be, it's not so simple because there are other evidence about it, but, you know, that there would be, that a person would be the beneficiary of, you know, chesed, or, you know, godless Hashem, whatever you want to call it, or chazdei Hashem, gvuros Hashem, you know, that you'd still have to wait, you know, for shira afterwards. Like, ashira l'Hashem, that's supposedly how he darshened it, ashira l'Hashem kigamal alai. And there's some, again, you know, contrary evidence to it, and that is an interesting topic, but not for now. But again, it all goes to this point of, you know, the experience itself, having a certain kind of impact and, you know, generating, you know, a certain kind of reaction. It's interesting that the Ramban here, you know, in the continuation, formulates it in a little bit of a challenging way. So go ahead. Instead of just saying, you know, because it's a response, it's a tkuva, it's a, you know, you have to first experience it, and then you, or at least the intensity of the shevach and the hodah is a function of having undergone, you know, the experience itself. Ashir l'Hashem ki gamal alai. He says, she'ein roi, go ahead.
She'ein roi lomer kishis garev liros hayam agadol v'yehi inav mubarev.
Yeah, so what do you make of that?
I mean, it sounds like it's very technical, like it's just almost practical.
Yeah, but so this is a question, how do you, why is it Ein Roi to do that?
What?
Right, exactly. I mean, it's hard to know. Is he saying, like, you know, it's not like, because anticipation is not, you know, the intense, you know, prerequisite, you know, that you want here, it's the experience. So, you know, closing your eyes. The closing your eyes part is like, what, envisioning, you know, what it's going to be like? Or is that more like a, you know, also, or is it kind of like an overlasiasan thing? you know, because otherwise it's a kind of like, you know, the agbe nafakbe, like once you see it, you've seen it, so. And then if you're tour, it's like to like over the over. What is the Ramban really, and this part the Ran quotes, you know, also from him. What does he mean? So again, I think it's very hard to know fully what the Ramban has in mind. You definitely could read it in a very technical way, like, you know, there's no way to do this properly. If you could, Liyitsuya, you could, then we would. And again, you know, that's, you know, one way to look at it. Or is this is what he's saying, and that is that you could do this. It's not an over, the over problem, or a, you know, mid-agbe nafak. It's not either too early or too late. It's not also just impractical, like, are you going to, you know, like, when is that, what is the experience upon, you know, when is the over? It's more that, you know, that isn't the idea behind it. The idea behind it is not to close your eyes, make a bracha, and then experience it. You know, it's the full impact in letting it, you know, be, you know, let it be transformative. You know, let it be a reaction that's supposed to be a reaction. Hard to know. Hard to know. Okay. Anyways, either way, I think it's a curious formulation. Then he goes on, just since we're here already, then he goes on to discuss how we look at Birchas HaShachar, you know, in light of this. So just let's take care of that now because we're not going to have time to do it later. Go ahead, if you don't mind. Lefikach Nagu. So this is also a very interesting issue, and in a way it relates to, you know, another big theme that we've been discussing, and that is the issue of what I call tziruf, right? At what point, you know, is it too late for, so we're talking it more in terms of, you know, the mitzvah and the idea of over la'asiyasa, if there's a l'chatkil of over or toch asiyasa and then you wait, you know, so then you have to contend with two things. Number one, the mechayev of the bracha, and number two is whether or not it's still sufficiently connected that it even relates to it, or, you know, that train has, you know, has already passed. And so here, the Ramban is suggesting that when it comes to Birchas Shevach, the Hodah at least, he's assuming that achar doesn't mean, you know, immediately achar. It means whenever there's siruf, and he's assuming that that siruf, you know, continues as long as you remember and are still impressed. Probably not a week later, but, you know, certainly in a reasonable, you know, time frame. However, he points out that there's an interesting Yerushalmi, Umi Yerushalmi Omer Masechet Brachos, Kavi Brachim, So that's a very interesting question, both on a tziruf level, as I say, and on a, if you were to say that, you know, really what the Ramban has in mind here is that, you know, if it would be possible, like effective, that, you know, Birchas Shevach, you know, it would be like Birchas HaMitzvah, and it would be kodem, just that you're not going to tell people, you know, close your eyes, you're about to come, you know, to the ocean, for whatever reason. But then, you know, the idea, you know, that it should be, you know, connected to an advance, that's relevant to advance or during, you know, might impose more of a tochid dibur, you know, at least, or something, some shiur. But if, you know, if it's completely a response and a reaction, then the only thing you have to worry about is it's zero. But frankly, I also would have been mechalek, you know, between two different types of Birchas Shevach v'Hodah to resolve the Yerushalmi. Namely, there might be a difference between, you know, something like, you know, Brachim and, you know, Seder HaBrachos Shel Shachris, you know, things that are Maisim Shebechol Yom, it's a different kind of Shevach, right? Both in terms of Tziruf, especially in terms of Tziruf, I would say. So I think that's another, you know, way to look at things. The Ramban himself goes on to let's just finish this part since we're discussing it, you know, to discuss the debate between the Rambam and others, and that is whether or not you really are, these brachos, brachos ha-shachar, are experiences that you're responding to, or they're just misedra brachos, right? In other words, you don't have to have experienced them, you know, at all. That's the line here. One second. Odnirali, right, so seder brachos halal shel shachris berachos shevachin al hanoeg ha'olam. Here's the berachos shevach hanoeg ha'olam, and therefore it's afilu lo shama sechvi mevarech ala v'chein b'kulam v'chein nagu minig yisrael torah hi v'chein aminig v'berachos nisun. We'll get to that in a second. But this is the perspective of the Ramban, and he can, it's contrasted with that of the Rambam, who seems to say that these actually do connect to actual experiences. But the Ramban is not denying here that these Birchas HaShachar, which are a form of tefillah, are Birchas Shevach. He's just saying it's a different Birchas HaShevach. It's a Birchas Shevach al hanoeg ba'olam, like on a daily, you know, and therefore it has just a different... One could have said what I said before, which is that even if you do need the experience, maybe, you know, there's a difference, for the same reason that there might be a difference whether you need to experience at all or you can just give Shevach without the experience, which is what the Ramban is saying against the Rambam. So too, you might have said that even if you do need to be connected to a particular experience, nonetheless, the way that you react to the Divrei Shevach of Hanoheg Ba'olam is different than the way that you react to the Divrei Shevach of, you know, either, you know, Kolos of Rakim, maybe even, and this is something kind of a middle category, you know, Haroa, you know, Asayam Hagadol. Of course, you know, lightning and thunder, you know, you're responding to a particular event. Birchas HaShachar, you know, even if you haven't experienced it, or if you have, they're like daily, you know, occurrences in your appreciating and articulating your appreciation, you know, for, you know, the sometimes taken for granted daily norm. And experiencing, you know, the Grand Canyon, or, you know, or the Yamagadol, or whatever it is something which is always present, unlike Kolos of Rakim. It's not a response to a you know, an event, but it's not something that you typically, you know, it's also not part of Noeg Ba'olam. It's not, you know, Noseg Masech Vivina, or, you know, Ozer Bigvura, or any of the other things. So I think that, you know, again, I don't want to, you know, prosecute the, you know, the eighth parak of Brachos right now, or, you know, too much more. But I think the idea that, you know, both on a tziruf level, well, these are all really tziruf type questions, whether you need to experience it all, how close the experience needs to be to the bracha, you know, how, you know, much, you know, we should try to integrate it actually, or wait for the aftermath to sink in. I think all those questions, there also is a range, is what I'm trying to say, of different brachos, of Birchas Shevach v'Hodah. They're not all of one type either, although the larger Mechayiv, I think, is very similar. The Ran, mostly here, captures, you know, the... but this is an example, and there are, you have to do this for other Rishonim too, you know, post-Ramban. But, one second... I thought the Ran's formulation just a little bit different. V'hol klala de Shmuel, it just says it a little bit differently. I think it's just always interesting. Hai klala de Shmuel leisa le bebirchas ha-mitzvos. Ava birchas ha-shevach. He doesn't even relate to birchas ha-nanin, which I think is interesting, the Ran. Right, he omits discussion of birchas ha-nanin. Again, the whole Ran, I should add, is clearly working off of the Ramban. Partly he tells you that the, you know, that the Likutei HaRamban are, you know, the foundation of what he's quoting that a lot. Clearly the order and the organization, you know, is based on the Ramban. even when he doesn't quote it. And therefore, it's all, I think, very, you know, interesting when his formulations are a little bit divergent. So again, he doesn't even relate to the nan in question at all. He also doesn't say that all birchos hamitzvos, all mitzvos have brachos. Avo birchos hashemach konosim perikaroem vaday lav over lasiosim bevarchin asan ela laachar mikain. And then he quotes this line: Shein roy lomar kishi iskari vluros yamagadol he otzim einav umavarech veroa ela roa umavarech mechain kula vikach nagu sader habrachos. And so on. And then he quotes the Yerushalmi. And then he quotes this, you know, idea of the Ramban. He's really this Emiti quote, Kasav Ramban, Billy Kutav. He's the one who just also highlights that the Rambam disagrees. According to the Rambam, if only some of the list, right, you could get out of Shacharis just a little bit earlier, according to the Rambam, maybe. You know, because you don't have to do the whole list if it doesn't apply. This is the Rambam view. Okay, so it's just very interesting that he dropped, you know, Birch Sanenin as if, what, as if that's completely irrelevant and a different kind of, the Ran, that is, you know, in his formulation. Either way, in terms of the bigger takeaway, you know, both for the Ramban and the Ran, I think, and the Rambam, this idea of trying to, you know, define the relationship of, you know, Lifnei and Toch and La'achar, and whether this is a Shiur and Zman, and, you know, whether you actually have to have the experience or you can talk about it even without having it, especially, you know, if it's something that is that exists or something, you know, that is common, you know, in daily life, that all these questions are dealt with by the Rishonim and dealt with in a way that, you know, reinforces at least the perspectives, that the different perspectives that we've been discussing, both with some of the equations and some of the differences as well. Okay, so that's in terms of Birchas Hanenin and Birchas Shevach B'Hodah. Of course, there's much more. Agav, I should just mention that the, you know, something that I think I mentioned the other day, and that is that the Ramban here and the Ran discuss the question of Birchas Nisuin, which is very controversial. So just to talk about that for a minute, the Ramban says, "Chein b'minag b'Birchas Nisuin shein b'varchin l'achas shetikanes l'chuppah." Most of the shown with the opinion that Birchas Nisuin is post chuppah. Again, the way that we do chuppah, you know, no one knows what chuppah is, so. Some people, typically we think it's standing under the klunzos, you know, is the chuppah. And that is definitely an important, you know, view. But, you know, the chuppah could be as early as, you know, what we call the badekim, certainly according to the Tosas Rit and others, in which case the chuppah is actually kodem, you know, the kiddushin, which is one of the explanations why the Birchas Erusin always speaks of Birchas Nisuin, speaks of Nisuin prior to Erusin. There are other explanations why that is. You know, maybe it's the goal, or maybe it doesn't mean that at all. You know, the Balaitor, but the idea of, you know, chuppah v'kiddushin is something that, you know, drew the, you know, curiosity of the Rishonim. And even Al-Attar, some of the Rishonim here say no, because it's a way of saying that the Erusin isn't Nigmar until the Nisuin, or that that's the Ikar, you know, as the case may be. But it could be that, and somebody should explain it this way, that the Nisuin actually takes place prior to the Kedusha. Of course, it doesn't do anything until the Erusin, you know, and then everything is, you know, in place. But the flipped order might be the, you know, the reason. Anyway, so it's hard to know. Of course, if the Nisuin is Knisa Lershuso, you know, things like, or the Yichud, which is Shitas HaRambam, Kniso Shuso, which is the Peshita of the Ran. So typically those are, well, you know, after the Erusin. So according to most views, you have the Erusin and the Nisuin. What we do standing under the Chuppah is we have, you're standing under the Chuppah, so it's both before and after, because you're under the Chuppah, you do the Birchas Erusin and then the Kiddushin, and then you're still standing under the Chuppah. And that's when we at that point recite after the Harrison, after the, usually after the Kriyas Haksuva, you know, the Birchas Nisuin. So the question is, are Birchas Nisuin supposed to follow or precede, you know, the Nisuin? So what the Ramban says here is that they, it should follow. And the reason is, Chein minag birchas nisuin, she'ein mevorchen ala achar shetikonis l'chuppa, she'ein elu ela birchos tfila l'shavach. That's what the Ramban says, and that's what the Ran here says. It's more known in the name of the Ran, because, you know, not everybody had the Chiddush Ramban on Tzachem, but basically the Ran here is quoting the Ramban. Teda, the Raya is also very interesting. Sharei kol shiva bevarchen osan. Right, very interesting Raya. There are shiva simei mishta, and during the shiva simei mishta, when you have a suda l'shem, you know, simchas chasan v'kala, you say that you repeat these same brachas. And clearly, you already did the mitzvah of whatever it is, erusin nisuin. That's done already. So, and that's clearly la'achar nisuin. And why are you even doing it? You know, the mitzvah is over. There's no mitzvah anymore. So it's a celebration, meaning it's a divrei shavach, you know, v'hoda. V'chein nira me'alachos gedolos. So that's the standard view. However, the Rambam in Perek Yud, what is it, Halacha Vav or so, Pilchos Ishus, disagrees. The Rambam says that the Birchas Nisuin come prior to the Nisuin. And the Ramach Alatar, you know, strongly argues this point. And of course, these Rishonim disagree. So he quotes us, Rav Moshe Amar, Kodem HaNisuin. Right? Tachin Dati Notes, Shari Chupa Yichudu, Uboi Ru'uya Labia, Vahare Kalav Lavla, Bracha Asur Labala Kenida, Velo Mabdeshi Bechal Kalamitzes Kula Bevar Chalei Mobilasi Asa. So the Ramban gives his own pshat. The Ramban doesn't say this. The Ramban says the pshat, the Rambam, is not that chuppah is a is the mitzvah and birchas nisuin are birchas mitzvah. Rather, it's another din, and that's a din of the Rambam. It's a din that, you know, stems from the sugya and ksuvas, you know, but that the Rambam happens to, I'm adding this, happens to you know, elaborate and expand upon. That's part of his Hagdara, that's what they're referring to, of Chuppah. The Ram's Hagdara is Chuppah is Yichud Haroi Labia. So the Ramban's postulating that the reason that you need, you know, Birchas Nisuin Kodem is because this would be an Isra Yichud, or it wouldn't be Roi Labia, you know, if because of Kalabalo Bracha Asura Labala, you know, Kenida. And therefore, the Birchas Nisuin are part of the Heter Isha Labala, you know, which is a prerequisite for the Yichud being Yichud Haroi Labia. And therefore, by definition, the Birchas Nisuin have to be Kodem, Kodem HaNisuin. Okay, that is the Ramban's read of the Rambam. The problem with that is that the Rambam, while he does emphasize the Yichud Haroi Labia and all of that, never emphasizes Kalabalo Brachas or Labala Kanida. At least not in Yad HaChazaka. And he does have a reference to it in one of the Tshuvas, but in Yad HaChazaka, the Rambam does not have that emphasis. And yet it is unquestionably correct that the Rambam requires Birchas Nisuin Kodem, and that is Mechudash. Again, all the Nosakalim think that that's a Kiddush of the Ram. So the Ramban, you know, is trying to make it Lishitaso, but kind of from the perspective of a group of, you know, Gaonim and Rishonim that kind of amplified, you know, the role of the Brachos with regard to Heter Isha Labala. And that, I think, is an issue and a problem. The Beis Yosef in Eben Ezer, really does suggest that for the Rambam, you know, Birchas Nisuin are Kodem because Kolamitzos Mevarchen Aleim over Lasi Aslan. Against what he quotes as the Ran, but really the Ran, which is quoting this, you know, Ramban. He says, no, it's just that the Rambam thinks that the, you know, it's a Birchas HaMitzvah. Of course, that's very difficult. Also, because Number one, does the Rambam think that the Nisuin, you know, is the mitzvah? So that's a topic in its own right. We're not going to get involved in that right now. But, you know, the Al Regel Achas point is that the Rav Avraham and the Rambam, in the very beginning of Hilchos Ishus, trying to explain the Koteret, where the Rambam says, Lisa Isha Beksuva Vekidusha. So what do you mean, Lisa? Lisa means Nisuin. So the Rav Avraham and the Rambam says, it sounds like, you know, father thought that Nisuin is the mitzvah, Lisa Isha. I didn't say Papa, but he said father. So, Lisa Isha Biksuva Bikidushin. Moreover, he has arrived from the Gemara in Moed Katan, David Ches, that we're not going to go into in a moment, which also seems to say that, you know, in a comparison, let's say, between Kedushin and Nisuin, Nisuin or Chuppah is more likely to be the real or Ikar mitzvah. So the Rabbi Ramban Rambam was convinced that the Rambam's view was that the Ikar mitzvah, clearly the Rambam says that Eirusin is a mitzvah, Likuchan Eil mitzvah Saseh, Shel Torahein, both in Yad HaZaka and, you know, in Sefer Mitzvahs, that's perfectly clear. But what he says is it's, you know, Tchilas HaMitzvah, the Ikar HaMitzvah is the Nisuin. If you say that, and then you also want to say that there, that the Birchas Nisuin are Birchas HaMitzvah, which is what the Beis Yosef says. The Beis Yosef doesn't quote any of this, but he, you know, of course he knew, he quotes, in the Kesem Mishnah, he quotes this Rabbah Rabbah Rambam, and he quotes it approvingly. So I always thought, and I could be wrong, that maybe the Beis Yosef's read of the Rambam is influenced by his acceptance in Kesem Mishnah, his read of the Rambam against the Ramban and the Ran is consistent with his acceptance of Rabbi Avraham and Rambam's, you know, understanding of the Rambam's view. That's a link that I'm suggesting. However, I think that particular reading of the Rambam is very, very problematic. Again, some of you were here when we learned Kiddushin some years ago, or Ksuvas, or both. And basically, you know, I don't think that is a tenable read of the Rambam. I think the Rambam only thinks that Eirusin is the mitzvah, and so on. So what, you know, what is left to say about, you know, the fact that he requires, you know, Birchas Nisuin, Kodem the Nisuin? Like, if he doesn't mean what the Ramban, maybe does, maybe means what the Ramban says, but as saying Kalav Lo Bracha is something which doesn't really, at least in Yad HaZaka, make a big impression. So I'm a little troubled by that. The Beis Yosef idea, I think, is... By the way, according to the Beis Yosef idea, what would you do with... I do want to say one thing. Teda Share Kol Shiva Mevarchen Osan. Right? That seems like a pretty good raya. The Ravid in Tzmim Deim, who also argues that Birchas Nisuin is Birchas Shavach Behodah, you know, says two things. Number one, you say it all week. He says, number two, you say seven of them. Or six, really. They got the Bar Pergoffin as a framework. So, right? I mean, where do we find that you have multiple, I'll get to that in a minute, multiple brachos, right, in a Birchas HaMitzvah. So, you know, all these point to, and if we look at the Tochen, obviously the brachos themselves, you know, some of them we have to work very hard to figure out what they even have to do with Nisuin, right? Shakol bara lechvodo, you know, Yotzer ha'adam. Again, I'm not saying that your hard work isn't going to pay off, but I think it does. But of course, I mean, Sameach tesamach and Asher bara sosa mesimcha, you know, those are obviously connected. But sos tasis, okay, a little bit. But, you know, the others are, you know, you have to work a little bit hard. Okay, so the, you know, but what's the answer to these questions? So again, for the Rambam, I just want to make one very quick point, and that is that the Rambam actually deals with Birchas Nisuin twice, in two different places. If you look in Shulchan Aruch, right, the Shulchan Aruch deals in Evan Ezer with Shava Brachos, under the Chuppah, and, you know, during Shiva Simei Mishnah. But the Rambam doesn't mention Sheva Brachos during Shivat Simei Mishnah at all in Hilchos Ishus, Perek Yud, which is his transition perek to Nisuin. He deals with the Sheva Brachos and he lists them and his Nusach of them, but he doesn't mention anything about Shivat Simei Mishnah. That he discusses only in Perek Beis, Hilchos Brachos, in the context of Berachos HaMazon. So, in my opinion, the Rambam is, and by the way, there he also enumerates, you know, each of the brachos. Right? He doesn't even say, you know, look what I wrote in the Chosishos, or in the Chosishos, look what I wrote back in the Chos Brachos. So, I think that, you know, the answer to the, I think it's a really good ha'ara, Teidah Sharei Kol Shiva Mevarech Enosan. But I think that it's interesting that for the Rambam, you know, it could be that there are two different dinim. There's a din of Sheva Brachos on the Chuppah, and there's a din of Sheva Brachos, you know, during Shivat Simei Mishnah. Which is one of the reasons also that I don't like when people, you know, sing them exactly the same way, or they sing particularly the last one, under the Chuppah, because I think it has, perhaps, a different status. Anyways, what does the Rambam maybe have in mind? So I think if you look very carefully at the Rambam in Perek Yud, Hilchos Ishus, that what you could say, again, this is all part of a much bigger topic, obviously, but, you know, Potter below Plumi Efshur, since these are the Rishonim that are talking about it, that what the Rambam, I think, is trying to explain is, the Rambam has a Havamina, like, and I didn't bring my Hilchos Ishus, but Perek Yud, Hilchos Ishus, the Rambam has Ki'ilu a Havamina, that Birchas Nisuin, you know, it could be in place of, in lieu of, the Nisuin itself. Anybody have that open? It's in Perek Yud. What is it? Perek Yud Halacha. What?
That's Vav.
Vav.
That one.
Oh, what's the other one?
Gimel.
Oh, Gimel? Yeah. Which one's Gimel?
The one that you think first,
Oh, okay. Sorry. You have both? So let's read Vav Gimel and then Vav. And then, I'm sorry, Yud Gimel and Yud. Yeah. So what was the Havamina? Like, why did the Rambam need to tell you that, and then he goes on to say that they're also not Ma'ake, right? Yeah. Right. This Filach HaKaviyamim is a fascinating thing, too. But that's, and the Miri disagrees with that. But the bigger point is that Rambam has two strange Havaminas. Right, one is that Nisuin could be instead of Nisuin. I'm sorry, Birchas Nisuin could be instead of the Nisuin. And the other is that maybe it would be Ma'akev, you know, the Nisuin. So why would you think either of those things? I mean, obviously the first is even more astonishing than the second. The second is pretty astonishing too. Brachos typically are not Ma'akev. But I think that the idea is that what the Rambam is trying to explain, what the Rambam holds about Birchas Nisuin is that they help define or establish, right, the character of the Nisuin. And therefore you might have thought, and then let me just take a step back and explain. For, you know, you have two, you know, phases or two aspects, two dimensions of Ishus. One is Erusin and one is Nisuin. But they couldn't be more different. And just a way to highlight that is, especially for the Rambam, I think this is, you know, his really strong conviction view, and that is that Erusin's very specific, you know, and it's a kinyan, and it's, you know, we know what it is, we know how to define it, it's kesef, shtar, and bia, and even they, each one of those, the Rambam has a lot to say about, you know, their character and their interaction, and so on and so forth. And that's, you know, likuchin elu, and that's the kinyan, and that's where the mitzvah focus is, and so on. Then there's the Nisuin part, which is in the, like, you know, just as a phenomenon, is that, like, there's no clear, in Shas, there's no clear definition of what Nisuin is. Right? That you need Nisuin, Chuppah, is clear. right? We are pretty much can figure it out from the psukim, or at least the drashos of the psukim. But in all Masachet Ksuvos, there's not a clear enough definition of what Nisuin is, you know, to preclude there being, you know, a massive debate about it. Like, how could there be an argument about what Nisuin is? How can the Shulchan Aruch quote, you know, five different things? Right? When it is, what it is, you know, the nature of what it is, and are these mutually exclusive or not? You know, and the Ram thinks this, and the Rambam thinks that, and, you know, and the Tosfos Rid thinks the next thing, and, like, what is all that? And the Yerushalmi thinks maybe there's a difference between an Almana and a Basula, and, like, what's going on? In addition to many, many, many other, you know, interesting, you know, not much das do you need, and, you know, what about a katana, and all sorts of different things. Not for now. But the bigger point I'm trying to make is that while Erisin is very clear, measured, defined, you know, its role is clear, the Nisuin is a very amorphous kind of thing. Very necessary, you know, but very ambiguously, you know, defined. And I think that the point is that, because it's, as Reb Chaim explained, it's a kind of kinyan de mimela, you know, as opposed to a formal kinyan. It's like a completion of something, you know, or the removal of an obstacle, more than it is, you know, itself, you know, more directly a kinyan or you know, a matir even. It is a matir, but it's a matir which, you know, removes, you know, kind of an artificial obstacle, according to the Rambam, the oser, that was expanded by Erisin. So I think that the Rambam's idea is that, number one, you know, you could think that maybe the brachos themselves would be the Nisuin, because they express or articulate the sentiments, you know, of this new stage, or of this new, you know, hetero isha labala, this new stage of the relationship. Or you could think, you know, that whatever you're doing for the Nisuin, you know, has to be accompanied by, you know, the articulation of some of these themes, namely the brachos. Okay, so both those things are not true, because the evidence of the Talmud, you know, doesn't sustain that conclusion. But at the end of the day, I think you still have to make the Birchas Erusin kodem l'nisuin, because they are a kiyum in giving content and substance and kind of, you know, defining the goals, still in an amorphous kind of a way, of what the nisuin phase is all about. And therefore, you're not going to do that afterwards, you're going to do it in advance, because, you know, it adds value. Now, in a way, that I don't. It's a little bit like we were, one of the ways we were explaining Birchas, you know, HaMitzvah, but not exactly, not as a matir, you know, and not as a, you know, kavana, but in a way, it overlaps a lot, that idea. So I wouldn't call it Birchas HaMitzvah for the Rambam, especially the Rambam L'Shitaso, about Birchas HaMitzvah, and the Rambam thinks that the Avedis could say it, you know, after. It's better to say it afterwards than not to say it at all. It's important to express these things. So better in advance, so that you know that the Maisa Nisuin, whatever that is, even if you can even use those words, you know, or the Chalos Nisuin, you know, is happening. You know, but B'diavad, you know, you can say it afterwards. So that's what I think is really going on in the Rambam regarding Nisuin. There's more time than I should have on that, but I should also just mention, so I'm not going to get back to Ishus anymore after this point here, that, of course, the Ramban also relates to the Rishalmi question, as is the Ran quoting the Ramban, about whether or not there would be a difference in terms of bracha between Kiddushe Bia and Kiddushe Kesef and Shtar. So while this is explained in a practical, you know, technical way, v'nirli atam shein roi levarach ala mitzvah l'kashim v'zumenis l'fanav l'asosa v'ba'osa shah hu imisha v'mita ein roi levarach shim la'ir l'cha b'cha ervas dabar, right? V'lo tzvichu chakam im livol hu b'bigda v'hi b'bigda v'lis kasos b'shas bracha zahu tam ha'yerushalmi. Then he points out that the Bavli clearly doesn't agree with this. Min lomer b'gemar dilan elochutz min atzvila, doesn't say kiddush ebi alo samchin la'gemar d'marabah. But then, of course, he goes on to discuss whether Kiddush Shtar and Kesef are over Lasiyasan or afterwards, and if they're afterwards, is that, you know, because of the Chashash Bracha Levatala, or because somebody else makes the Bracha, like Tosa says, or Tosa says because somebody else makes the Bracha, that's our Tosa on Zayin Ibn Aleph, and Tosa says Shabbos as well, or is it because of Chashash Bracha Levatala, which also Bali Tosa say, which the Raivid, of course, says, and which the Rosh quotes as well, or is it because, you know, it's really a Birchas Shavach Bahodah, either because there is no mitzvah or because this isn't a Birchas HaMitzvah, which of course is the famous view of the Rosh, and that's what the one of the things that the Or Zarua discusses, and other Rishonim discuss this, you know, as well. But what I did want to add, just before I leave this point, is that I think there's another way to explain Chutz Mikidushei Bia, which isn't so pragmatic. And that goes, again, to another very core, important question, and that is when we say, right, you know, should we look at these as three different, you know, application, three ways to accomplish, of course, it's, either way, it's no question that it accomplishes the same result, but does it accomplish the same result, and these are just the three alternative kinyanim you can use, or does it accomplish the same result, you know, by emphasizing different ways? Is it different if you're Mekadesh, you know, Bekesef, Bishtar, you know, or Bechazaka? And are there actual Nafkamina, you know, that that reflect this? So, for example, in the Gemara in Kiddushin on Daf Yud, you know, has a Safek whether Bia Erisinose or Nisuinose. The question is, what does that also mean? But let's take, you know, the more popular view, which is that while Kesef and Shtar accomplish Erisin only, you know, that Kiddushei Bia would accomplish both, not either, which is the way some people interpret it. You know, if you already did Erisin, then Kiddushei Bia will accomplish, you know, Nisuin, but that it'll accomplish both in one fell swoop, which of course, you know, is a huge qualitative, either one's a qualitative difference. Now you can say that qualitative difference is pragmatic, because you're really doing two things at the same time. Or you could say that, you know, the fact that Kiddushei Bia is Mefurash Bakra Kikach Ish Isha Uva Allah, and that, you know, Shtar and Kesef are both derived in more indirect ways. You know, Kesef, of course, Kikach Kikach Stei Afron, what I call an import from Kosher Mishpat. Shtar, you know, very much from the world of Avinu Ezer, but, you know, Makish Yitzil Habaya. So, internal, but still Kenyan-oriented. So maybe the idea really is, and this sounds like, again, the way the Rambam presents things, always in a hierarchy. Every time he talks about the three Darkei Kedushin, in the beginning of the Chasishus, you know, and again, Paragimel, and Perishim Shnayis, and in Sefer Mitzvos, always speaks about, you know, the three ways, not as if like they're interchangeable, but in a very, very subtle, you know, but nikar way, you know, he says something like, you know, ikar kiddushin or kiddushin shel Torah, you know, hu bebia, you know, umekadshin, something like, you know, bishtar, you know, evim, you know, nasan kesef or something like that, you know, that'll work too, you know. It sounds like there's a hierarchy. So this is, of course, a big, big question in all Masechet Kiddushin. You know, what are the practical differences, and are they technical, or are they reflective that you are accentuating different dimensions of the Ishus relationship in order to trigger, you know, this this Kenya? In which case, the idea might be that just like the Gemara's question whether Maskana we completely reject it also, just like you might think that Kiddushei Bia is a fast track, you don't need two phases, right? So too, you know, and that's the Ikar Torah Shebichsav, you know, methodology, which is both, in some respect, more obviously preferential, but also more, you know, fraught, you know, because if you don't pull it off properly, you know, it borders on Znus. You know, so again, I'm not going to discuss the manifestations of that, but the point is that, you know, Kiddushei Bia is like a very explosive kind of thing. But the idea that maybe you wouldn't make a bracha, and that, you know, other, also the way, just is not just because technically, you know, the way that it's implemented and the requirement of, you know, ervas davar and brachos, etc., but that it's, you know, like a different method of kiddushin, one which is doesn't require or is it conducive to the bracha part. Maybe the bracha part's more consistent with the oser. You know, it's hard to do that when you're doing kiddushin bia, which is kind of the direct, you know, matir. You know, so you're saying osar lanu osar rusos, and you're doing kiddushin bia. That's, but I don't just mean the inconsistency. I mean it's like a different approach. Just as there might be other differences, like the Gemara says in Ksuvas, not Lamaskana, but the Gemara is like wondering, you know, whether the Shlichus in Kiddushei Bia, right? I'm sorry, whether the Chalila, whether the Tnai in Kiddushei Bia. The Gemara says, Kol she'eshno b'shlichus, she'eshno b'tnai, Kol she'eshno b'shlichus, she'eshno b'tnai. So the Gemara says, well, that principle should determine that there's no tnai b'kiddushei bia. And then the Gemara says, no, iska shavayas, right, lahadadi. So again, it's hard to know how to read that Gemara and whether it's purely pragmatic, you know, or not. But Gemaras like that, which kind of imply that there could be, you know, substantive differences between, you know, one kinyan and the other two, however that goes, you know, might be based on this concept, this idea, you know, that you are accentuating different, you know, motifs. So again, I always thought, I think that there might be some echo of this in the world of Ede Kiyum too, like what kind of, you know, Ede Kiyum, you need Ede Kiyum, you need Edim for Kiddushei Bia, but of course you say there, Hein Ede Yichud, Hein, you know, Ede Bia. And that's just, you know, the way that works. We talked about this a lot when we learned Shavuos a couple of years back. We talked about Edus, you know, Yedia below Re'ia, Edus Umdana, and the different ways of understanding Hein Ede Yichud, Hein Ede Bia. But is it also possible, again, that, you know, the more formalizing role of Ede Kiyum, like to create something because of their presence, to catapult, you know, to upgrade, you know, to formalize, to solemnize what's happening in front of you, you know, you need that less in Kiddushei Bia or more, it's hard to say. And therefore the requirements of Ede Kiyum might be different. Anyways, so this expression in the Yerushalmi, where the Yerushalmi suggests that chutz mi Kiddushei Bia, that maybe there wouldn't be a birchas, you know, hamitzvah, but there would be in shtar and in kesef, is a very interesting phenomenon as well. Okay, having said that, let's go back, because we don't have so much more time. Let's go back, I guess we'll need a little bit of time on Tuesday, but I do want to try to start at least Shaka Pataria on Tuesday of the Safek issue. So let me go back to a couple of other points very quickly. So we were talking about, first I think Simcha mentioned to me, right, about, asked me the question, if Birchas HaMitzvah is a matir, is that you were the one, we were discussing that, right?
Yeah.
If Birchas HaMitzvah is a matir, then how can we explain that in the context of Safek, that's what you're asking me, that in the context of Safek, you know, you would be able to drop the Birchas HaMitzvah. So I think that's a really good ha'ara, and maybe a suggestion, I don't think it's mukhrach, for the Ravid. In other words, the debate between the Rambam and the Ravid is, if you have, we got into it because we're talking about Kriya Shema and Birchas Kriya Shema, but like, if you have a Safek about a mitzvah d'oraisa, right? But the mitzvah d'oraisa, you know, carries with it a bracha d'rabbanon, right? So do you make the bracha as well? So the Rambam's shita is no, and the Ravid says yes, except that the Rambam seems to agree when it comes to Kriyashma, and the Ravid seems to agree in a couple of cases too, for the reasons that he that he mentions. How do we understand that debate? So I think one way, the typical way that we understand the debate is, and this is certainly how the Rav understood it, and this is how we explain the Kriya Shema issue, is like, how many, you know, Dine Torah are there here? How many Leidos HaSafek are there here? I mean, there's only one Leidos HaSafek pragmatically, but how do you look at this question? You could, like, look at this question in two ways. One way is to say that, you know, we're not sure if you are mechuyib in this mitzvah, or if you did, you know, this mitzvah. And there are two consequences. Number one, you have to do it again. And number two, you know, do you make a bracha, you know, if you're going to do it again? So as two consequences of one din Torah, you know, then the question becomes, you know, which part is nigrar, you know, after which? And presumably the answer would be, typically, that, you know, if you have a suffix to Raisa and a suffix to Rabbanan, you know, and assuming it's one latest a suffix and it's one, you know, psak, then the Doraisa part is going to be Koveya. So what we'll say is, you know what, it's a suffix Doraisa, you have to be closer, you have to do the Mila, Misafek, you have to, you know, do the Netila Slula of Misafek, you have to be Leshe Basuka Misafek, and if it's one Safek and a suffix Doraisa the Chumra, so, you know, to, if it's one Safek with two Nafkamina, then, you know, the Drabanan is carried, you know, with that. And maybe that's Gufa, where you could be mechalek between different cases, and that is because maybe that isn't the pshat. Maybe there are really two sfeikos here, or two latest safeks here. Right? There's a safek in chus brachos, and there's a safek in, you know, in the mitzvah. And therefore you say about one safek deraisa lechumra, the other safek deraisa lekula. But let's say there was a particular, you know, mitzvah whose bracha was like more, you know, integrated with it. So that might tip the balance. You might say, oh, in this case, you know, there are two nafkaminas, but one din Torah. Whereas in, you know, in another case, you know, there are two dine Torah, and we can split them. And that maybe is the pshat, why the Rambam thought that Birchas Kriya Shema is different. But from that point of view, then you could say that, you know, you could go a step further and say, oh, does the Raivin think, you know, that Birchas HaMitzvah is always more integrated? Is that why he's Cholek? I'm not sure of the answer. So Simcha Leib's point, which is, the more we see the bracha as a matter, I think there are two different questions, but they're related. One is, to what extent does the bracha kiyum in and integrate into, you know, the mitzvah itself? Right? And kind of a little bit similar to what I was just saying about Berachas Asuin, by the way, for the Rambam. But, right. But even if it doesn't integrate into, because of the nature of the particular bracha and the mitzvah, you know, in general, in terms of Berachas HaMitzvah, we've been discussing, like, is that, when we talk about Berachas, is that kind of like a klali idea? You know, or is it more of a prati idea? Or is, even if it is a klali idea, or is it more of a chiyuv bracha, you know, standalone, or is it, you know, something which impacts and therefore is linked with the status of the mitzvah that you're doing? It's interesting. The Gemara in Sukkah, for example, has a view, or Havavina, that, like, you know, if you're doing many mitzvahs at the same time, that you could kind of make like a birchas mitzvah klali. Okay, and then the Gemara rejects it. It's a really interesting question. So you can look at it again, you know, when you say Hashem shows us if Tzivanu al HaMitzvos, you know. So, you know, if, well, let's say this way, that would be very compelling if the requirement of Birchas HaMitzvah, Hashem Kedushanu HaMitzvos of Tzivanu, was like a general, you know, din, like a general, you know, whether it's a general matir or a general Shevach B'Hodah, as opposed to being very specific to the particular mitzvah that you're, you know, that you're involved in. The maskana is that we don't call achad, you know, main birchosa, baruch Hashem yom yom. So, you know, the Gemara is just saying, you know, we haven't changed our minds so much on the way that the brachos work, and even if they are klali, but, or no, this is goof of the question, how klali and how prati. But the, you know, this might be, these might be relevant questions to the issue, you know, whether, you know, a particular bracha is connected to the performance of a particular mitzvah, and whether it's considered one or two dinei Torah. But the more we look at the matir, I agree with Simcha, the more we look at the matir, you know, part of it, you know, that's like an added reason, right, not to split, you know, the performance, you know, from a bracha. So is it possible that the Ravid, you know, and the Rambam are just arguing, you know, about how many, you know, sfeikos there are, or how many applications, or whether in general Birchas HaMitzvah, you know, is considered to be, you know, prati and part, you know, etc. But maybe it goes to this question itself. I mean, how much of a matir, you know, is it? And just to explain that a little bit more, that Rabbi Kiveger in Brachos Daf Yud Beis, and the Gemara that Josh, you know, correctly, you know, responded to, quoted, we were talking about, you know, Pasach B'dechamra, Pasach B'deshachra, V'siyam B'dechamra. So, let's say you have a Safek. So I think that same Rabbi Kiveger in that Gemara says, let's say you have a Safek, you know, Birchas Hanenin. So Rabbi Kiveger has a view that maybe Safek Birchas Hanenin is not Lahakel. It's Lahachmir, because it's Safek Me'ila or Safek Gezela. Like, you don't have a Matir, you know, if you have a Safek. So then you Vadai or Mechuyav Levarech. That's kind of an interesting idea. I don't think it's the mainstream view of the poskim at all, but I think it's an interesting idea. So just to accentuate what Simcha's arguing is that, like, you know, maybe, you know, you shouldn't say, in addition to the question of how many sfeikos are there, and whether, if there's more than one, I'm sorry, how many sfeikos are there, and if there's one, you know, which is the dominant one, you know, that the other one is nigrar to, and how, to what extent is, you know, Birchas HaMitzvah specific or general, you know, if indeed it's a matir, you know, just the idea that a safek matir, you know, is always vadai chayev, or maybe vadai chayev, is something to consider as well. So you just wonder, is that, you know, are some of these considerations maybe, you know, at the heart of what the Ravid disagrees with the Rambam about? Okay. However, the other side of the coin, just to be fair, this is what I've answered when he said it to me, was that in the end of the day, if Birchas HaMitzvah is not Ma'akev, which it's not, and especially if it's a Chiyuv D'Rabbanan, right, even from the Matir point of view, there's still Hey Mamra, right? Which, of course, is the answer to those who disagree with Rabbi Kiveger on Birchas HaNenin, you know, too. And whatever you will say in Birchas HaNenin, it's easier to say that Chiddush in Birchas HaNenin, even, you know, than it is in Birchas HaMitzvah, even as a matir, probably for the same reason as the Ramban saying before, you know, that one is a vadai, you know, the other is, you know, less so. Which didn't necessarily mean that he was excluding the possibility that it was a matir. So, anyway, that is an interesting discussion and something to think about in these ways. Having said that, let's move on to two other points quickly. Yeah.
Is there any evidence that, like, what you get in a mitzvah is different when you're reading a kind of Ketorah Safek?
I mean, objectively, I think that's possible in some cases. I'm guessing that, I mean, again, we have this phenomenon a little bit, you know, where Safek isn't just a Safek. We're going to get back to this in that next sugya about, you know, Daf Tes and Daf Yud. But the idea that Safek isn't always just a Safek, like, you know, we don't know, but that sometimes Safek, Lekula or Lechumra, you know, becomes a factor, that phenomenon we're familiar with, right? And again, I mentioned as an example of it, again, we talked about it in terms of Dabai, you know, and in terms of Mitikas Chametz, obviously, you know, but you're talking about Lekula, not Lechumra. So, you know, great example, we have examples of that too, like Mamzer Vadai, below Mamzer Safek, or I've quoted in the past, you know, the possibility that the Ramban in Torah Sa'adam mentions with regard to Avelos. Maybe the Din of Halakha, you know, Lahakel in Avelos, is more because, like, the level of Agmas Nefesh or whatever, you know, you lose that, you know, when it's besothic, qualitatively. So I think that's what you're asking. So I think in some cases we do have that. In, you know, you want to say, oh, you're doing a mitzvah, but you're only doing it b'torah suffix, so, you know, maybe substantively that impacts whether you need a bracha or not. I think it's possible, but it's more obvious in the cases, in some cases, than in others. So I think it would be a very, I wouldn't dismiss it, but I think you have to be very careful about, you know, figuring out and applying it. Okay, so I'm going to stop in a few minutes, but let's go back to the first idea for a minute. Which is the idea, and then I want to go back to, I think I'm still going to need some time Tuesday, because I still want to go through the Rishonim on Al and Le. But before we get to that, so just one other, the idea that, you know, maybe what we're dealing with is a standalone din. You know, Birchas HaMitzvah is Birchas HaMitzvah, as we've been discussing, not as a form of, you know, with adjustments, Birchas Shamach, and not as, you know, a kind of a matir, you know, but Birchas HaMitzvah is Birchas HaMitzvah, or maybe a little bit as a matir too, you know, to discuss, you know, two things. Number one, what I alluded to before, and what a couple of you have mentioned to me, I think Zev Hurt mentioned to me, and then Natan mentioned to me as well, but I had them on my list and I just forgot to mention it both times, and that is the question of mitzvos that don't require brachos at all, right? Again, the part that the Ran kind of skips, but that the Ramban, you know, implies doesn't exist, but of course it does. So I think that this, you know, becomes like a very interesting issue, especially in light of the perspective that either, you know, either Birchas HaMitzvah is a matir, right, or Birchas HaMitzvah as, you know, contributing a framework, you know, which adds to, maybe is even necessary for, not ma'akev, but definitely, you know, contributes to the tochen, the substance, you know, of doing, you know, the mitzvah itself. So the whole discussion between Rabbi Yosef ibn Palat and the Ravi Avad and everything that came after that about which mitzvos require and which don't require brachos might take on a whole new meaning depending on how you understand, you know, Birchas HaMitzvah, essentially. I mean, are we suggesting that there are brachos that don't really require, you know, a separate matir? Either because you know, they're not that kind of a mitzvah, or because, you know, they're so that kind of a mitzvah that they don't need the bracha part, you know, to, you know, to add that, you know, enhanced, you know, value part. Are there, you know, mitzvahs that don't, you know, really require, you know, extra, or the assertion of lishma or kavana, or that you're a mitzvah, because even if you weren't a mitzvah, or as I'm saying, you know, because, you know, it's in the nature of what they are that you already know that. So, particularly there, you know, there's a whole literature on this. Davar sheish bo kitzvah, davar shein bo kitzvah is one distinction that's made. So do we assume that mitzvos tmidios, you know, that the chiyuv of them, at least, you know, give them a certain stature, or means that you're never, you don't need a framework because you're always in the framework? Like, how do you look at those questions? Or, you know, those who talk about the difference between, you know, mitzvos bein adam l'makom bein adam l'chaver, which is one of the views of the Rambam and others. Gav sheish kitzvah im l'kitzvah is, again, one of the other suggestions. Difference between, you know, bein adam l'makom bein adam l'chaver, you know, it's clear, like the, you know, Sifrei says that, you know, if you walk in the street and money falls out of your pocket, Rashi quotes this, I think, in Parshas Kitetze, also the Sifrei, you know, and some ani picks it up and, you know, does the trick. So you fulfill a mitzvah in that too, right? So there's a certain mitzvahs where, you know, even without lishma and without kavana, you know, more pragmatic, more effect-oriented mitzvos. So anything that's been on l'chavero has redeeming value, in you know, being marba av of yachva, and you know, being an expression of tzelem elokim, or your achrayas, whether it's you know intra-Jewish or broader, depending on the mitzvah. Some of these, you know, don't require a bracha. To you could say, well, maybe the bracha dafka is important because it also gives it religious content rather than just you know humanistic one, which definitely is a every ben adam lechaveru is also a ben adam lemakom. There's no question about that. But to the extent that there's a different focus and it is more pragmatic and it is more obvious or logical, or you know, the mitzvah is you know to be a good human being and to interact, you know, with others in a way that affirms, you know, their value as Tzelem Elokim and so on. So it's just very possible that some of these aspects, whether, you know, just don't apply. So whether it's kitzvah or aimba kitzvah, that's more like tmidius, I think. Or it's benon l'mokom, benon l'chaver. Or things like, you know, mitzvahs, you know, demimela, or like mitzvahs emuna, or, you know, or ava, or, you know, sinna, or lack of sinna, right? Sinna to the people that you're supposed to be, so named, very few, smallest, but like the mesis, or things like that. You know, and lo sisna, of course, is a much bigger list. It's just from, you know, from the perspective of what it is that Birchas HaMitzvah brings to, you know, the to the performance, you know, we can understand why those categories, you know, might be different. And that's just an important way to look at it. Okay. That's number one. Number two goes to the question that, you know, I mentioned before that the Raivin, when he wants to prove that Birchas Nisuin is not a Birchas HaMitzvah, I'm going to stop in like 5 more minutes, says that, you know, the Haraya, not only that we say Shivas Me'amishta, but look how many brachos there are and how many themes there are, right? So that's an interesting question, this idea of multiple brachos. And as we discussed, we have this, like in Birchas Nisuin, if you think it is a Birchas HaMitzvah, but we also have it in Birchas HaTorah, and we also have it in Bris Milah. You have it in a few other things too, but these are some of the main ones. According to the Yerushalmi, you know, maybe you have it in mitzvos in general, right? Because Yerushalmi has an extra bracha. You know, you make a bracha for putting together the cheftza, and then you make a bracha on doing the, you know, the ma'isa mitzvah. Okay, that is an interesting phenomenon. But, you know, obviously we're talking about two different moments, you know, two different actions. It's a chiddush that the Yerushalmi thinks that the creating of a chafsa shel mitzvah, you know, generates a kind of bracha. So even if you were to decide that was a birchas mitzvah more than a birchas shabach, the idea that it's, you know, a different, you know, time frame, a different focus, you know, solves part of the problem. Whereas when it comes to things like Birchas HaTorah and Birchas Nisuin, if it is indeed Birchas HaMitzvah and Bris Milah, right, we're not talking about two different actions, at least not in an obvious way, and we're not talking about two different times, you know, either. And then the question is, like, what would be the point of having multiple brachos? So one way to explain this is that really what you have, you know, in these cases is more than one type of bracha, right? So you have really Birchas HaMitzvah and Birchas Shevach V'Hodah. So you can explain that in some cases. That doesn't explain the Sheva Brachos of Birchas Nisuin, but you know, that is, I mentioned the view in Balei Tosis and Shel Tshuvas Minas Shamayim, that, you know, Lasuk B'Divrei Torah is a Birchas HaMitzvah, and that, you know, Harivna or Veharivna, and Asher Nasan Lanu Torah Sanes, is Birchas Shevach V'Hodah. That's possible also when it comes to bris milah. Right, you have two brachos. Right, that's a kind of more regular mitzvah. That's why it's, you know, really sticks out. But v'tzivanu al hamila, or lamol, we'll get to that, I guess. We still have to finish up on Tuesday. And then you have lachnisa b'brisa shalom b'mavinu. So especially if you take the view, you know, we know this is the debate. That's what Tosas here talks about in Zayin Oben Aleph, and the other Rishonim as well. And that is that if you say, you know, the bracha lamila or lamul, you know, over lasiyasan, and you say lachnisa b'brisa shalom b'mavinu afterwards. So the idea that one is birchas hamitzvah, the other is birchas shavach lahoda, very reasonable. Again, that might be what Tosas is saying. We're just not sure, right? Tosas says, you know, it can refer to other bris milos, and therefore it doesn't have to be over. It's made often, you know, by the person, you know, who didn't do the actions acher, the person who didn't do the mila, and you know, it's being mishaveach, the institution of mila. What's not clear in Tosis, as we discuss, is he also says that, oh, and it's here now, you know, because it's meant to emphasize that you're motivated, you know, to do this l'shem Hashem and not l'shem hargrizim. And etc. Which is why I wasn't sure, I'm not sure, whether that answer, which appears in many Balei Tosas, is Tosas' way of saying, you know, it's Birchas Shavach Vahoda, or their way of saying that, you know, it's a Birchas HaMitzvah that comes afterwards. Okay. But I just wanted to add, and I alluded to this the other day, that there's another possibility, and that is instead of saying one is Birchas HaMitzvah, the other is Birchas Shavach, and if you do take the second reading of Tosas, that they're both Birchas HaMitzvah, so I think then you would typically have to explain that the brachos, it's very hard to say that as a matir, that there are two Birchas HaMitzvah, but it's as a kind of Birchas HaMitzvah as Shavach V'Hoda, or Birchas HaMitzvah as providing, let's say, like a, you know, a proper framework, attitude, of things that enhance the mitzvah itself, the idea that there's more than one dimension, you know, to a particular mitzvah, I think that would be very reasonable. Okay, let me take a step back. If you want to say that there's multiple mitzvos, but it's Birchas HaMitzvah as a matir, then you'd have to make a stronger case for how independent these mitzvos are from each other. So for example, again, when it comes to Talmud Torah, I think I mentioned that the Balamor in Brachos and Daf Yud Aleph Amud Beis says that the reason we have three Brachos is bothered by it. So like, why Echon Matzino? Like, what is this? So he says the reason is because the Gemara itself was mistapek. Make sure that I finish in a couple of minutes. The Gemara was mistapek about, you know, which Cheftzes Shel Torah require bracha. You know, only Torah Shebichsav. You know, also drashos. What about analysis, Talmud, you know, etc. And so the big chiddush in the Balamor, even though we're docha all those things, right, we're not docha them because they're completely wrong, we're docha them, says the Balamor. He doesn't say all this, he just says one line. but basically, we're docha them because the multiple brachos, you know, relate separately to these. In Ochanami, there are different cheftzas shel Torah, and the different cheftzas, you know, have different requirements in terms of bracha. But instead of saying, you know, cutting it off and saying this and not that, or these two and not the third, or these three but not the fourth, well, there might be some of that too, right? That's why there's discussion in the poskim. What about for slichos in the morning, trinos, or what if you're learning machshava or kabbalah or agada, you know, do you also make a Berachas HaTorah? They're not in the cases of the Gemara. Is the Gemara's conclusion that anything, you know, is sufficient? Or anyway, so the Balamor's idea is that we do acknowledge separately the different genres. And the Ravid, in his Parish Alatar, says, "What do you, you know, why would that be? You know, Kula Torah Achasi." Very interesting exchange. Of course, the Ravid is right from one point of view, certainly in terms of Limud HaTorah, and in terms of, you know, the overarching idea that these are all Chetzo Shel Torah. But we can understand what the Baal HaMoor means. Baal HaMoor wants to give due to each, you know, genre. Now again, you might say that that in itself is a reflection of the mentality that Birchas HaTorah is a bracha on Chetzo Shel Torah and not a bracha on Limud HaTorah. Maybe the Ravid is right when it comes to the mitzvah of Limud, or the Maratem Osam, whatever it is, whatever the Makar is. And, you know, and he's basically assuming either that, you know, that the bracha, Birchas HaTorah, is a bracha, is a Birchas HaMitzvah, and from a mitzvah point of view, it's all the same mitzvah. And the Baal HaMoor is saying, you know, it's not a Birchas HaMitzvah, it's a Birchas Shevach V'Hodah, Chafza, Shel Torah, or no, hard to say. Maybe the Baal HaMoor thinks that, you know, the experience of Limud, of the different genres, are different. I think that's less likely, but I don't think it's impossible. And maybe the Ravid is arguing because he thinks, you know, that the different genres, you know, don't matter even as Chafza Shel Torah. I think that's also less likely. But either way, that's an interesting issue and an interesting argument. As I mentioned, the, you know, Ramban in his Parish on Sefer HaMitzvos counts Birchas HaTorah, Kishem Hashem Ekra HaVugur L'Kein, thinks it's Doraisa, which is remarkable, because there aren't many Birchas that are Doraisa. Thinks that not only is it Doraisa, but that it deserves, you know, Mitzvah B'Fnei Atzmo Minyan HaMitzvos. That's the famous line that I've quoted many times. It's from that Ramban in Sefer HaMitzvos, where, like, he himself says, you know, like, Vim Tomar, even if it is Doraisa, but shouldn't it be, you know, under the rubric of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah? And his answer is, no. Sipur Tzias Mitzrayim, Mikra Bikurim, and Birchas HaTorah, you know, are not considered like kfelus, you know, in Minyan HaMitzvos. They stand as independent. That, those comparisons are very, are very fascinating. So again, so one approach, you know, to Birchas HaTorah is to say that in Achanami there are different, when you learn X, you make this bracha, you make, but you're not making three brachos or two brachos on the same limud or on the same Chetzo Shel Torah. You know, so maybe it's not comparable. That's one possibility. But, you know, it's hard to say that, you know, about Mila. So what's going on with Mila, if it isn't Birchas HaMitzvah, Birchas Shavach V'Hodah? So I just want to throw out the idea, which I've also mentioned other times, but and actually, I believe I mentioned it this year, when we talked about Zerizah Magdim and the Mitzvahs, and that is that Bris Mila has a double kiyum as well. And that is, on the one hand, it's a mitzvah, like other mitzvahs. And if you look narrowly at this kiyum, you know, HaMitzvah, you know, like other mitzvahs, it requires a bracha. Asher kedushanu v'tzosef tzivanu lamul, ala mila, we still have to discuss that part of it. But there's another aspect, and that is mila, right, has a special status, stature, in terms of conveying kedushas Yisrael, and, you know, that's why it's an asei sheish bakaris. I mentioned in the past, there are two asei sheish bakarises. You look carefully in the Rambam, right? You know, in the beginning of Hilchos Korban Pesach and the beginning of Hilchos Mila, this is my, you know, suggestion at least. I think it's correct. He characterizes Mila as an Aseh Sheyesh Bakaris, and in Korban Pesach, you know, he basically says, if you violate it, I mean, if you ignore the opportunity to bring Korban Pesach, you're chayiv kares. But he doesn't actually call it, you know, an asei sheish bakares. That's a small, nuanced difference, but I think it's an important difference. But of course, you know, Mila, you know, seems to be a symbol of Kedushas Yisrael, and that's why, you know, it's a requirement in Geirus. And that's why, you know, the Shame Yisrael is often, you know, identical, you know, with the Mahol, you know, even when then the facts don't fit in either direction, meaning a Yisrael in good standing is considered a Mahol in Ochos Nadarim, even if he doesn't have a Mila, let's say, Mesoch, a Machmas Mila, or something like that. And a Nachri, who's Mahol, right, does not have the status of, you know, Mahol. He's still an RL. And of course, you know, the all the special dinim of Bris Mila. Anyway, I think I said this earlier in the year when we were talking about Zrizim Magdim and the Mitzvos, and we were trying to explain the phenomenon, which has other explanations for sure. But in the Gemara in Psachim, right, the Gemara is trying to say that Zrizim Magdim and the Mitzvos, you know, always begins. It doesn't have to be earlier than Safra. Remember? Tell that, Gemara? After all, we learned from Bris Mila. And the problem was, what do you mean we learned from? And again, this is, you know, applying it to Bedikas Chametz, let's say. If it's Midin's Riza Magdimin, then it should be enough for Safra, like Bris Mila. What do you mean, like Bris Mila? Bris Mila begins with Safra, because you can't do a Bris Mila, but, you know, it says Biyom. You know, Himal, and therefore, you know, Balaila is excluded. So for the earliest possible time you could have a Bris Mila is in the morning. But that's the whole point. We're not sure when. There's no reason you can't have Bedikas Chametz at night. And actually, we do have Bedikas Chametz at night. So why would Zrizin Magdimin be limited to the morning? It's just a bad paradigm. So I thought that one of the things that you could say is that Bris Mila is such a powerful symbol, embodiment of Kedushas Yisrael in general, you know, that it determines across the board, or at least the Gemara's Havamina was, it would determine across the board, or all things being equal, maybe even the Halacha, it determines across the board, except for Bedika either isn't within that, or it is because it's also enhanced by being earlier because of the advantage of night, but I don't want to get back into that. But the point is that Bris Mila is such a paradigm that, you know, it, the force of its own self, is koveya for Zrizin in all mitzvos. That was a suggestion. So again, this idea, Luke and the Psukim, Himol, Nimol, this idea that Mila relates to not just an action that you do, but a status that is conferred. When you do Mila, you're creating a Nemo, right? And the idea that, you know, the Gemara speaks about David HaMelech, you know, about, you know, he was never bereft, you know, of mitzvos, even who was in the, you know, Beis HaMerchatz, because of Bris Mila, right? All these things and many, many more. The Rambam's famous view that, you know, you don't violate the Isur Kares, you know, until, you know, unless you die without having discharged your obligation. Meaning, like, why? What is that? And why is that dafka, you know, pertaining to Mila? The idea is that Mila seems to be also the way that we mediate other mitzvot. Mila is a mitzvah, and Mila is also an approach towards being a mitzvah and being obligated in kol mitzvos. And therefore, there's a very interesting shach in Yoredeya. The shach quotes, I forget who. Oh, yeah, I did. Okay. The shach in Simin Shinhei says, Shinhei Sivkatan something. Yeah. Sivkatan Yud Beis. Kosovichuvus Rabbelio Chaim. Right? Al Tinok Bechor. Shechala, v'lo nisrapes on yom lamed aleph. He had a child who was born ill. wasn't able to have a bris milah because it wasn't healthy enough. And he only became healthy enough for the bris milah on the same day that he became qualified, you know, for pidgin aben. So nira the afagav the mitzvahs pidgin aben lasos beikar zmana yesh lahakdim. It's not the ikar zman of the milah now; it's the ikar zman of the pidgin aben. Yesh lahakdim mitzvahs milah bishul da milah he osach nasas bris. Bilmalek kabbalas abris same chiyuv the mitzvahs pidgin klal. So I think that's a very fascinating idea, and it expresses, not everybody agrees with this psak, but I think there's a lot of rayas about many unique things about bris milah, you know, too many, you know, to discuss now, especially since I'm already over time. So what I think is, in light of all of this, that this explains many phenomena about, you know, about bris milah. That might be also a way to explain, you know, I've said this for many years, the double, even birchas hamitzvah, right? On the one hand, there's the milah as milah, and number two, there's milah as the framework for the obligation, you know, and the kiyum of shmiras, you know, kol hamitzvos. And I think this is very related to, again, I'm not going to go into details now, the particular nature, you know, of what bris milah is. Like, there's a whole, you know, literature on this, a whole discussion about this. Like, milah is kilkul or milah is, you know, tikkun. You know, one of these Rabbi Kiva tonus rapus, you know, exchanges. But really, the Gemara in Masechet Shabbos, where the Gemara talks about, you know, the kalkel b'kovel l'mavir on Shabbos was a kuvav. So the Gemara says, you know, havara as a chiv misa and mila. And the Gemara has a line like, you know, mali tikkun, you know, gavra, you know. That's the question. If you look at the Rishonim there, and you look at, you know, the famous discussion between the Rambam and Barnabuchim and the Sefer Achinuch. You know, what is milah? Is it tikkun or kilkul? You know, so the answer is it's both. It breaks up between a physical and a spiritual, you know, probably, and that itself is important, that the navigation between them. But it's more than that. It's voluntary as a, you know, kilkul, which ends up being a hashlama and a tikkun, because if you can respond to tzivui Hashem, you know, even at your own physical expense for a spiritual purpose, then that's the ultimate expression of perfection. Anyways, I don't want to get too carried away, but the so maybe that's also the idea of, you know, there being a double, even birchas hamitzvah, perhaps, according to those who think it is, you know, whether it's over lasiyason or then you wait after, you know, but either way, you know, those are the two dimensions of the mitzvah, even of bris milah, the maisa milah itself, and then milah as representing this much larger, you know, mediating idea or framework idea of kol shara mitzvos, ala milah and lakniso bibriso, because all of bris oriented, you know, shel Avraham Avinu. Okay, so we'll stop with that. I want to pick up on to finish this up really, really, hopefully. On Tuesday, I'm going to talk about the different views about Al and Lamed, you know, Shlichus or the enduring of the mitzvahs, and including some of the specifics. But we'll try not, you know, we're not going to be able to do all the specifics because otherwise we'll never, you know, finish this. But it is an important window into the lamdas and the interrelationship between different mitzvahs. So, you know, Potter below Klum Yavshai, I do want to speak about the Ramban and the Ran and the Rosh and, you know, a little bit, the things I told you to look at. And then let's start with tests through Yud and the questions of Sveikos as much as we can. Good. Yeah.
Why couldn't you just accomplish everything with Lahakniso? Is there, what value is there?
No, I think that the whole point of Lahakniso is also